Do you remember when you could sit outside and not worry about the mosquitoes and the killers?
You know, it seems like someone's just gone plumb loco with a hammer and a box of nails. What do you think would make someone do something like that?
I tell you what, if this ain't one hell of a horror movie, it's one hell of a biker revenge or something from a motorcycle gang. Look at that, buddy.
There ain't no motorcycle gangs in my county, just law-abiding citizens, except for a few assholes that pass through. Why is it that everybody that winds up dead seems to come out here to get knocked off? It's like there's someone out there giving them directions or something.
Tom, what you have here is an apparent epidemic.
It sure looks like it.
Must have been a long and slow death. I'd say simply from loss of blood.
The next time someone threatens to nail you on the hysteria continues, they just might do it.
Hi, this is Kelly Maroney from Shopping Mall and the Zero Boys, and you are listening to The Hysteria Continues.
And indeed you are. Wow. Welcome back. To the hysteria continues.
Always forget her laugh right there.
Yes. Yeah, indeed. We are covering on our 52nd episode, Joseph Pick, which is Nail Gun Massacre, if you hadn't guessed from that intro. We're also going to have the second part of Joseph's quiz.
No.
What do you mean no?
It's Joseph's quiz. It's not the second part of anything.
Eric, are you going all Inga on us?
I am going to go to all Inga on it until you finally admit that this is a separate standalone quiz.
This is for you, Eric.
I'll get my revenge, you'll see. Enjoy your laughing while you can, because you'll see. Oh, stop it.
I can't stop laughing.
Eric, that's just for you.
Yeah, well, I know exactly how she feels.
Okay,
Eric,
well.
Eric doesn't get to participate in this one.
Well, the quiz is coming up, whether it's part two or not. It's open for a mass debate, and we'll have that later. But before we get on to that, and before we get on to Nail Gun Massacre, introduce you to the fellow podcasters. Nathan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, and I think that we should dedicate this podcast to the late, great Terry Lofton.
Yes. I think we should, yes. And in honour of that... So, what do you think, Joseph?
I'm living in the Bible Belt. Woe and giving them hell.
Indeed. Are you actually in the Bible Belt? Where you
Not anymore. It used to be considered the Bible Belt, but no, we've kind of progressed in the past 10 or so years.
Okay.
Not far enough.
Yeah, not far enough, but we're getting there.
Okay, so is there still a Bible Belt? Does it kind of...
Yes.
Okay.
It is. You actually wear it.
Oh, do you?
Your belt buckle made out of the New Testament.
Fashion for Jesus. Okay. And Eric, are you in a Bible Belt in Ireland? It's kind of...
No.
Okay.
No, I live in a big city.
Okay. Well, so do I, but it's some places are a little bit more religious than others, aren't they?
Yeah, no, there is a... you know, Jesus is fairly popular over here, in fairness.
Okay. Yeah, it's a pretty big city we live in. It's a pretty big city we live in, but there are a couple of churches here and there.
Okay, right. Well, Eric, how are you doing over in Dublin?
Oh, I'm cold and I was wet, but I'm not wet anymore. And that sounds rude.
Yes, why were you wet?
Because I was down in my hometown today and it takes me 3 hours. Although it's only 75 miles on public transport, it takes me 3 hours to get home. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done a big trek just for you guys.
Oh, we appreciate it, don't we, guys? Yeah. Don't we?
No. Yeah.
Yes, we do. We do. We do appreciate it. So,
just want me to turn it to Inga from the very start of the podcast these days. It's working.
Eric, you just might win this quiz again.
Oh,
if he does, then it will be.
Late 80s is an Achilles heel for me. So this is 85 to 89, isn't it? Joseph?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So unless you're going for Halloween and Friday the 13th sequels, I may falter.
Well, I guess you'll have to find out.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm going to do very well at this one. I think Nathan's probably got it all wrapped up, I would have thought.
Now I'm going to lose it.
I think so. Yeah.
We all bow down to Nathan.
Mm. Yeah, Nathan's the Chelsea, I'm the Brentford.
I don't get that.
I don't know who that is.
Never mind.
Evil laugh. Right. Okay, well, before we get on to all of that madness and Nelgar Massacre and the quiz, should we talk about what we've been watching recently since the absurd podcast? Nathan, do you want to go first? What have you been watching?
Well, based off of a review off of this website that I've stumbled across called The Hysteria Lives, I watched an Australian slasher called Next of Kin.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought that it was excellent. I really, really loved it. I mean, the cinematography is great, like the camera angles and everything. And, you know, there is one scene that really stands out. It's when the heroine decides to make like a mad dash just out of the house. And like they film it, the way they film it is excellent. And just her screaming and the music. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's a great, great film. I recommend it.
Mm. I think it's probably the best Australian slasher movie, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Because a lot of the others are good fun, but they're quite cheesy, aren't they? But this is actually kind of like what you would term a classy kind of slasher movie. Who laughed?
I didn't laugh. I was saying, yeah.
Okay, all right, fair enough. So God,
you sounded like a school headmaster there.
I know. I was hesitant to admit it.
Well,
give a hand slap with a ruler or something.
Yeah, well,
watch some what's her name, Julia Roberts rom-coms after class.
Oh Lord, torture.
That would be torture.
Well,
so, but I don't mind Pretty Woman because of how realistic it is about what it's like to be a prostitute.
Totes.
I've never seen Pretty Woman. It's a bit like it's a kind of like the Dirty Dancing of rom-coms for me.
I wouldn't have minded it so much if they'd actually got a pretty woman.
Ooh.
Joseph. Well, back to Next to Kin. Joseph and Eric, I'm sure, have you both seen it?
Yeah,
long time ago.
Mm.
I watched it Friday with Nathan, and I loved it. I thought it was one of the better movies I'd seen in a while. Certainly the best movie I've seen this year, and shame that the best movie I've seen this year is from way back in the 80s. Well, that's not a shame, but considering all the new crap I've watched lately, it's I guess it's a shame. But anyway, I thought it was really well made, very, very tense. And I love the scene Nathan was talking about, but I also love the scene where she goes into the house and I guess her love interest just comes rolling towards the camera in the wheelchair. It just really made me jump because I didn't expect it. But it's a slow build-up, but wow, that last 20 minutes is just slasher movie gold, in my opinion. Mm.
Well, I quite fancy doing a double bill of Australian slashers at some point, and maybe Next to Kin should be one, and we should choose something from the cheesier.
The Day After Halloween.
Houseboat Horror?
Sorry?
Houseboat Horror.
Houseboat Horror. You couldn't get much more of a kind of poet, really, could you, than that? But maybe that might come up soon, because I think a couple of people have asked us about doing Next to Kin, and I think it might be quite an interesting one to do. I'm not sure if it would make a whole podcast, but maybe a double bill might be quite a good one to do. So if you like that idea, let us know. Anything else, Nathan?
I also watched a creature feature I haven't seen before called The Boogans, and I thought it was a lot of fun. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's not without, you know, a few flaws, but mostly I really, really enjoyed it. You know, I mean, it's nice to see you know, Eddie Benton, aka Emery Martin of Prom Night fame, in this one, actually playing a nice person, which was very odd for me. I'm so used to seeing her as Bitchy Wendy, and she's so awesome as Bitchy Wendy too, I have to say. But otherwise, I mean, it's a really fun movie. You know, I like the little monster. I thought it was kind of interesting, and they also are very wise because they don't show it until the very end, which I think is a smart move. Otherwise, it would have lost some of the effect of seeing it before, I'd say.
Mm. I think you watched that as well, didn't you, Joseph?
Yes, I watched that Friday as well. I really enjoyed it too. I thought it was a, you know, well-made little kind of monster movie. It reminded me of it basically reminded me of My Bloody Valentine with a monster. Mm. I mean, they use the whole mining caves and things of that nature. And I love the I love how these people are in this strange mine. They find this weird cavern with all this it looks like, I guess it's fresh water, but it's bubbling, and they keep hearing noises, and they just do not get out. They're like, oh, well, we'll just keep working, despite the fact that, you know, people keep dying. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Characters you expect to live die and vice versa. And I like the design of the monster. I mean, watching it now, it is a little cheesy, but, you know, I guess that's part of the charm. But, yeah, thumbs up from me for the Boogans.
Mm. What about you, Eric? Have you seen that?
I don't think so. It was reminding me of another film, but I think the one I'm thinking of is called The Strangeness. It's another one set in a mine.
That's right. So, yeah.
All right, that's the one I'm thinking. I don't think I've seen The Boogans then. I am aware of it, and it sounds quite interesting, especially if it's got Anne-Marie Thingy from Prom Night. Love her.
And it's got, what's the other woman called? Is it Claire Baldwin or somebody that was
Rebecca
in...
Balding.
Rebecca Balding, sorry. Yeah, that's it. She was in Silent Scream, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I haven't seen The Boogans for a long time, but I remember really liking it. And it's one of those kind of monster or horror movies that you've got like a really likable cast, haven't you, that you kind of don't really want any of them to die. I seem to remember.
Yeah, it's also another movie where I like that they spent a few minutes kind of making this dog its own character, where the dog was in these suspense scenes, and you kind of wonder if the dog is going to, you know, die or not. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, not a lot of movies do that.
Mm. It's one of Stephen King's favorite movies, isn't it?
Yeah, he liked it. He liked it a lot.
Mm, excellent. Okay. Well, thank you, Nathan. Is there anything else?
Very quickly, I watched Malevolence and Bereavement, and I just thought they were meh. I mean, they're decent, and I thought they were well made, but ultimately forgettable. I can't even remember much about them right now, to be honest.
Nathan, one thing we forgot to mention in the last podcast, and I know that you've seen it, is Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Oh.
Tell us about that. Okay. I never got around to see it.
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell anything without spoiling it, but let me just say that I thought that it was, oh my God, oh, it was such an insult to the original. You know, it's supposed to be a sequel, okay? Like, the very beginning is awesome because it shows you scenes from the original, and it was cool to see that on the big screen because, you know, the original is my favorite movie of all time. But then it picks up right after, you know, basically Sally gets away at the end of part one. And it's a bunch of vigilantes showing up at the house after she gets away to, like, kill the family. And it cuts to the inside of the house, and there's, like, a woman with a kid, and there's, like, some old people. I mean, come on. Where were they in the original? In the original, there was only three people in that house. Well, four, because Grandpa. But, I mean, there's all these extra people in there all of a sudden. I guess they were hiding this whole in all of part one is what we're supposed to believe. But there is one line in that movie, and I've already told Joe about it, but I'm not going to spoil it for you guys. But when you hear it, it is so groan-inducing, I can't even – I mean, it's probably one of the worst lines I've heard in a really, really, really long time. Wow. And there's a scene where one of the girls, like, points a shotgun at Leatherface and says, "Welcome to Texas." You know, like, "Welcome to Texas," you know, and shoots at him. And this girl is not from Texas. I mean, she just got there like a couple of hours ago before Leatherface attacks. And she's telling Leatherface, "Welcome to Texas." Like, there's no logic here.
What was the 3D like? Was it gimmicky?
Oh, there is maybe three scenes in that whole movie that were 3D, and they were just okay, not great. 3D just wasn't worth it to me.
Well. So, would you say it's the worst Texas Chainsaw film you've seen?
I actually think out of all the series, it is the worst.
Wow. Okay. Because I've heard some people say, I haven't seen it, but some people say that it's quite fun. It's the most kind of slasherific of the films.
I actually disagree with that because, okay. I mean, this isn't giving anything away, but the first, like, I'd say about 40 minutes is Leatherface stalking the teens, but then it just stops. And, like, the last 40 minutes is something totally different.
Okay. Well, it's made... I mean, it did make quite a lot of money, didn't it? So it's probably not going to be the last of the series, I wouldn't have thought. But did you see it, Joseph?
No, not yet. I'm not in any real hurry.
No, no, fair enough, fair enough. Okay. Right. Anything else, Nathan, or have you?
I've exhausted my
You've exhausted. You're spent.
I'm so spent.
Okay. Right. Well, how about you, Eric? What have you been watching?
Okay, I only saw a few. I saw, I watched Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, which was out last summer, directed by Timur Berkbekbegudiweladov, who did Wanted and Night Watch, it was called, the Russian movie. Mm. So it's very much in that style with lots of slow-mo and very much style over substance. But in this particular case, I was quite entertained, I have to say. I was not expecting anything from this. I got on DVD for Christmas, and it's quite good. It's I don't think there's any surprises. It's about Abraham Lincoln, who has a sideline in hunting down vampires after witnessing his mother being killed by one when he was young. And so there's lots of Matrix-style kung fu, chop-socky action and, bullet time, whatever that was called, that effect. But I find it fairly entertaining. It's nice and short as well, which is nice for a blockbuster. They seem to be all 2.5 hours. This was about 90 minutes, I think, 100 minutes, in fact. Mm. And it's also got Mary Elizabeth Winstead in there, who I really like. She's in a lot of... she's, I suppose, kind of a scream queen, you could say, for the modern age. She's in, like, The Thing remake, and she's in Final Destination 3 and Death Proof.
Come to Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of Joseph's favourites, I think.
Yes.
I like her as well. Daddy, what's a reference to? Oh, you like her, yeah?
Yeah, I like her as well.
Yeah. No, I think she's a very likable screen presence, and she's in this as Abraham Lincoln's wife. And there's some great action scenes in it. I'd say you'd probably like it, Joseph, if you like action, because there's a great climax set in the train.
Well, I'm a little picky when it comes to action movies, but I'll check it out. I'll check it out, though.
The other one I watched was Retribution, which was one I hadn't seen. It was it is old, I suppose, 1987. I'd never seen it before. I picked up the Code Red Blu-ray of it, a 25th anniversary edition. It's this sort of supernatural slasher movie about the guy who commits suicide on Halloween night at the exact same time that a guy is killed in a gangland crime. And his soul possesses the guy who committed suicide, and he goes around acting out his revenge, including one bizarre scene where a guy gets encased in a dead cow's carcass. I don't know, have you seen the film, anyone?
No.
I saw it back in the 80s, and I remember next to nothing about it.
Yeah, no, it's actually quite entertaining. It's got Hoyt Axton in it as well, the singer. It is very 80s. It's got lots of... neon light and light shining through Venetian blinds type effects in it, and women with big hair. I find it quite entertaining, I have to say. It's a bit long. Again, it's 106 minutes, which is an hour and three quarters. It could do with easily 20, 25 minutes being shaved off that. But overall, I find it quite entertaining. As I said, it's very, very, very 80s. It's like a Toya video with killing in it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So that's like all of her videos?
Nobody dies in Toya videos.
It's a shame, isn't it? The audience, yeah.
It's time to play the Inga clip again.
Joseph.
Yeah. I also saw one other film, but I think Joseph is probably going to mention it, because I think we three of us have seen it.
Well, I'm not going to mention
it. I'll talk about it. One of you, I was surprised Nathan didn't mention it, because we talked about it a lot.
I've mentioned so much.
Yeah.
Well, Joseph, because I think I know what you're going to say, and I've seen half of that movie now, so I can join in.
Well, the movie in question is called the Call Me Macho Woman?
Mm. Yeah, a.k.a. Savage Instinct.
I had never heard of this before. How did you discover it, Joseph?
Back in 1990 or 91, it came on Showtime, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and my entire family watched it just on a lark, and we laughed until our sides hurt. And I'd forgotten about it until I read a review online of something, and someone said, "This reminds me a lot of They Call Me Macho Woman, a.k.a. Savage Instinct." And I was like, "Oh, I forgot about that movie. I need to recommend that to Eric and Nathan and Justin." And I did. And so what do you think?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, the entire thing for listeners is available on YouTube. So you don't even have to go to the hassle of sort of seeking it out on DVD. I said to Nathan, it reminded me of Eden Lake or Texas Chainsaw Massacre, done in the style of Lady Terminator, the Malaysian, what's the word I'm looking for?
Indonesian?
Indonesian, that's it. Indonesian movie. It's about a woman who is going out with her real estate agent called Cecil to check out a house. And on the way, they just accidentally witness a drug deal or a drug gang getting up to all sorts. And then they set their sights on eliminating her so she can't go squealing to the police. And what can I say? The acting is atrocious, but there's a great sort of 10-minute sequence of her. She's, after so many humiliations and being abducted so many times and slapped around, she decides to, you know, get her revenge. And there's just this long montage sequence of her attaching various belts to every part of her body, her ankles, her wrists, her tits, everything, and putting nails in and saws. And she has axes that she throws at them. And this is some like white middle class woman from the city, where she's developed all these sort of ninja type skills for the finale of the movie is beyond me. But it does have a great final shot. Well, the final murder I thought was hilarious. Very well done.
I liked her scene with the guy that knows karate, because, you know, he like kicks at a mirror face, and then she kicks and stabs his foot. And he says, you know, what is it, 10 years karate? And she's like 6 months ballet. And she stabs his foot and he falls to the ground. He's like, "You have disgraced me. We must fight to the death."
I really like the scene when she's on top of the car and she gets surrounded by the gang, and to escape, she runs across their heads, which was kind of quite some feat, really, wasn't it? And they're all the gang are like, "What the fuck?" You see a foot on their heads as she steps across them like stepping stones. It's just so... Is it a Troma film? Was it originally a Troma film, or did Troma just put it out?
I was wondering.
Troma released it, but I don't think it was Troma lensed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But how about the scene where the obvious stunt double, who was like almost 7 foot tall, wearing a silver wig, supposed to be her.
That's in the barn, is it? Where
she, she falls out the barn with the guy. Yeah.
Well, you brought up something else, Joe, the other night, is the fact that she finds these rusty axes and everything, and like the next thing you know, she shows up and they look brand new. I mean, they're shiny.
I know. Perfect
silver. There's not a scratch on them.
Well, she spends that long montage polishing them and preparing them for...
Well, she runs them across a grindstone for like 5 seconds, and then they're silver.
And how does she throw nails and they actually stick in somebody's eyes? Like, they go all the way into his eyeballs.
God only knows, yeah.
I like the actor who plays the head drug lord, not Mongo. Well, of course, Mongo's
the guy.
No, the old man who's basically financing the whole operation. Yeah. At the very end, he's like, "I told you to get rid of her." And the guy's like arguing. He's like, "You do it." And he's like, "Get rid of her now, damn you."
Yes, a special treat for you if you've not seen that before. So obviously not a slasher movie, although lots of deaths, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a big body count.
Yeah, and very
a good time will be had by all.
Ineffectual baddies as well, in typical James Bond style. They can kill everyone except this one woman.
And also, they've got the whole thing is just made up of people who can't act. I mean, the main woman is obviously was very good at giving blowjobs, presumably, because she can't. What?
Well, Justin said that. I had nothing to do with that comment.
Well, she couldn't have. How on earth did she get this acting gig? I mean, maybe she's very good at crochet. I don't know, and someone needs some crochet. I don't know. It was just a throwaway comment. But she's not the only bad actor in the film. They're all, it's a bit like Nail Gun Massacre, isn't it? It's a bit like you've got your family together to act in the film. And, I'm not talking about you, Nathan, here. I'm just sort of saying in general, it's people have got, there's a lot of people there who can't act, who are just running around and saying lines kind of... without much conviction, but that's what's the beauty of it, isn't it?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that part of the bad acting, because I was just thinking about the scene where she's hiding, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's snakes wrapped around her legs, and there's a tarantula crawling up her hand, and she sees it, and she goes, "Oh, shit." You know, like she just spilled her drink or something.
Yeah, because I know what my reaction would be.
And it wouldn't be that. So, just seek that out. Let us know what you think about it. Joseph, did you have anything else to say about "They Call Me Macho Woman"?
No, I like the opening scene where the guy, they're dispensing out the cocaine, and it's obviously, sugar. and the guy's all sweaty because he's like a cokehead, and they catch him, you know, kind of skimming. So Mongo comes in and puts that strap across his forehead that's got the spike, and he basically headbutts the guy and impales him, his like forehead on that spike. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Excellent. Well,
and the guy's name's actually Mongo. That's so funny. That's a funny character name, Mongo.
It is.
There was in Ireland's top-rated soap, Fair City. There was a character. I don't know if there still is, called Mongo, as well.
Yeah, and Blazing Saddles. There's one called Mongo.
Oh, is there?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you, Joseph. Have you got anything else you want to regale us with?
Who, me?
Hmm. Were we talking?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I've seen quite a bit, but, you know, unfortunately, pretty much everything I've seen has been kind of low par, but I'll go through them anyway. I finally saw Bad Ronald from the 70s, the made-for-TV movie.
Hmm.
And I thought it was pretty good. My only problem is that the setup is really good, and I just thought the ending was kind of anticlimactic. I expected more of kind of a kamikaze type. He goes just like completely insane and just starts kind of messing with his family, but it just kind of ends really abruptly, and I was kind of disappointed. Basically, if you haven't seen the movie, the plot is that this kid accidentally kills one of his friends. So his mom, you know, in order to keep him from going to jail or juvie or whatever it is, basically hides him in this room in the house. And she leaves to go, I guess, grocery shopping or something like that one day, and she never comes back, so I'm assuming she dies. And then this new family moves in the house, but, you know, Ronald still lives in the walls. And so he starts spying on this family, and he kind of starts, you know, becoming unhinged. And it's one of those type movies, but it's good, really atmospheric, but I just thought the ending was kind of a letdown.
Hmm. Because I know it's got – I haven't seen it, but I know Amanda Bynight really rates it, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Hmm. How about you guys? What being Nathan, Eric, have you seen it?
Never seen it. I thought the synopsis sounds intriguing.
I have seen it. I liked it, but you know, it's not like a scary movie in my opinion. It's I think it's more like a character study or something about Ronald and his descent into madness. But his mother, if you remember, Joe, she was actually going to have surgery. Remember, like she had something wrong with her, so she was to have surgery, and she died during the surgery.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, I mean, I obviously forgot, so it didn't really leave much of a lasting impression on me.
Oh, fair enough.
Actually, Amanda told me that the book is really good, and the movie tried to make Ronald more sympathetic, but the book, apparently, he's not as sympathetic in the book. So it makes me curious.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's one to watch out. It's one I've been meaning to watch, but I've just never got around to it. So, okay. Well, thank you, Joseph. Anything else strike your fancy?
Yeah. A few more. I'm just going to kind of skim through these because they've been pretty terrible. I saw a movie called The Final. It was sort of a newer movie about these kids who basically get bullied. And so they decide to fight back. They dress up in these, like, weird costumes, and they go to this party where all these popular kind of bullies are just having this party, and they take over the party and hold them hostage and, you know, threaten to kill them. And the setup is really neat, and I think the actual premise of this being sort of like Revenge of the Nerds meets Hostel is kind of neat, but it's just so long and so dull, and they focus like on this one nerd character who's supposed to be like the leader of the group, you know, taking revenge, and I didn't really sympathize with him at all. I didn't really sympathize with any of the nerds. I thought they were kind of – it's like Slaughter High where, you know, Marty gets picked on, but you kind of feel like he deserves it because he's a creep. That's how I felt about these kids. I kind of felt like, you know, no one really deserves to get bullied, but I still didn't sympathize when they were getting bullied. So the movie didn't really work for me.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's pretty much it for that movie anyway.
I assume no one's seen it.
I expect no.
But I think Justin would like it because it's kind of gothy and, you know, emotional and stuff.
Oh, he loves gothy emotional stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I do not.
You do.
Well, I do, but not. I don't like emotional. What do you mean by emotional stuff?
Just kind of all. Let's go dance around in graveyards and call the corners type stuff.
Okay. And flipping your hair around.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if that's emotional, then I'm guilty.
Oh, boy.
So what else have you been watching, Joseph?
Yeah, just a few more. I'll just kind of talk about a couple. I'd say the best thing I saw the past week or so is the Still Screaming documentary on Scream, even though it wasn't really great. I mean, it's nothing you haven't seen before if you read it. I mean, you could listen to our Scream episode and probably get the same amount of information as you would out of this documentary. But unfortunately, that's probably the best thing I saw, and that's not saying much. The other thing I saw was A Horrible Way to Die. I think it's by Adam Wingard. He did the wraparound segment in VHS, and he's got another movie coming out called You're Next. But this movie was just so abysmal. I mean, it was really. I wouldn't even want to say it's well made because the camera never sits still, and he uses a lot of these weird focus tricks where he's focused on like a twig in the foreground and the characters are off in the background. They're blurry and you can't tell what's going on. And I think I understood what he was trying to do with this movie. It's kind of supposed to be this raw, like emotionless character study about this guy who's like obsessed with his ex-girlfriend. And he's also a serial killer, but it's just no fun. I mean, I want to watch a movie that's fun. This movie is just depressing and just dull and, you know, it's lifeless, and you're like, okay, these people are just horrible and pathetic, and I don't care about them, and they're miserable, and it's just not my type of movie. So, I mean, it's gotten a lot of good reviews, and me personally, I don't understand why, but if you like that type of thing, I guess it's okay, but I didn't like it at all.
Okay, no, but it's not another one that I haven't seen, but I've got no particular interest in watching it because I didn't. The wraparound segment of the VHS, well, actually, most of the VHS I didn't really care for. So,
yeah, same here.
Yeah. Apparently, the sequel is supposed to be much better, isn't it? Super VHS.
The trailer looks excellent, and I've read some good things that it's supposed to improve upon VHS. Mm. Plus, it's got a giant monster in it, so I have to see it.
Yeah, but it can't be much worse, can it? Well, I mean, there were bits in it, VHS. Yeah,
it's not that VHS was terrible. I just thought it could have been a lot better.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you, Joseph. I just coming back to the Scream documentary, because I've not seen that, but I understand that Kevin Williamson, well, he wasn't involved with it, was he?
No.
I wonder why, but it just kind of... Have any of you seen The Following? The new, the one with Kevin Bacon, the Kevin Williamson's new series?
I got the first episode, but I haven't watched it yet.
No, I haven't seen it yet, but the premise sounds quite good. It's kind of a, well, I've heard it, people saying it's kind of like a slasher TV series, but whether or not actually it is, I know it's kind of, the kind of premise from what I understand is a serial killer in jail who calls on all serial killers around the world to come together, you know, to have a party or something. I don't know, or to free him or whatever it is. But Kevin Bacon is the only person who can save the world. That's the, kind of my understanding of the premise, but it may not be quite like that. But it sounds, it's from what I've heard, the reviews have been excellent for the first episode, so I need to check that out.
Well, if anyone can save the world, it's Kevin Bacon.
Exactly.
Well, he's got the fancy feet work to do it.
Yeah. Well, actually, talking of Kevin Bacon, I went to the cinema this week to see. I'm not going to talk about it because it's not really related. But The Impossible, the tsunami disaster movie with what's his name? Naomi
Ewan McGregor.
And Ewan McGregor, yeah. But before it, there was Kevin Bacon in the UK is doing this new campaign to promote 4G phones. And there's a trailer where there's about five of his characters, him playing his characters, like the one from Footloose and also some of the others, but also his character from Friday the 13th.
No way.
And he's playing this character in the same clothes, and he's got an arrow sticking out of him, not through his neck, but through his chest. And they're sort of saying, which films do we want to watch? And he's going, I want to watch horror. And they're going, shut up, Friday the 13th. So it was just quite funny because he's not, you know, I always thought maybe he's a little bit embarrassed about Friday the 13th, but because he's never done anything, any kind of interviews or anything recently, has he, for any of the re-releases of the films. But he obviously enjoyed setting himself up in that, and it's just quite fun to see him with the same hair style from Friday 13th in the same clothes.
Cool. I must see if I can see that on YouTube. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. Well, it was for 4G or what they're calling
it.
Yeah,
I've seen the ads on the telly, but this is obviously a cinema exclusive one, I'd say, is it?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was good fun. But just to run through quickly a few things I've seen. I think I probably talked about this before on the podcast. I can't remember, but watch Snow Beast from 1977. The kind of the Yeti attacking kind of basically Jaws ripoff, kind of a ripoff of Jaws and Grizzly, I kind of guess. It was kind of the baby of that, with a giant Yeti attacking bad acting snowboarders and people in sort of drinking schnapps at an exclusive ski resort who's having its centenary or whatever it is, that kind of the typical kind of thing. But it's really good fun. It's got Bo Svenson in it, and it's got loads and loads of point of view shots of the Yeti stalking people. So it's kind of got that kind of proto slasher feel. And I imagine it's one you've all seen.
No, I want to though now.
I have seen it, but it was eons ago.
Nathan, have you not seen it?
Sounds like a Friday night pick to me.
Yeah, let's do that.
And keep an eye out for the there's a great bit, and I won't give anything away, but it's exactly what you think it's going to be. It's just like the matriarch who runs a snow resort doesn't want anyone to know about the killings because they're having this big centenary. And there's a fantastic scene. It's a little bit like, Humanoids from the Deep at the end where they all come out of the water and start attacking people at the fair.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have a kind of slightly more low rent version of that, crowning the queen of the snow parade or something. So they're all in, they've got their brass band and everyone's running around boss-eyed screaming with their hands in the air, bumping into each other. So it's really good fun, but watch out for the first victim's friend, who when she's interviewed by the police gives one of the funniest performances of someone in shock that I've ever seen. So check that out. I watched it's not really a horror movie, or it's got some horrible bits in it. Is a film called Headhunters, and it's a Norwegian black comedy. And it's not really horror related at all, but it's just very quickly. It's about an art thief who basically breaks in to people's houses, and he steals very expensive pieces of art, and lives this kind of double life, which he funds through stealing art. And basically, he picks the wrong person and steals this art, and then basically that person stalks him and goes after him. And it's him trying to stay alive. And it's a Norwegian film. But what it does do, it's got some really nasty, gory moments in it, but it's all black comedy. It's one of those films that doesn't do what you expect it will. Every time you expect something to happen, it does a complete left turn or a right turn in a completely different direction. It takes about half an hour to get going, but once it gets into the real, the story really gets going. It's really funny and entertaining and violent, and it's just, yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. So I'd take it none of you have
seen
that
one. It sounds good.
Hadn't heard of it.
No, that's definitely worth a watch. And lastly, the I think I may have spoken about this on the podcast before, was a Spanish film, Julia's Eyes, which is Del Toro produced
Guillermo
film.
Del Toro.
Yes. But it's by the it's basically got the woman from The Orphanage in it, and she's very good. And she plays one half of twins, and she's going blind, and her sister killed herself, or did she? And it's just basically she's starting to go blind as well, and she's investigating her sister's death, and there's someone starts stalking her. That's a really good film. It's a film I've watched quite a few times, but I got it on Blu-ray cheap, so I kind of watched that. And I take it, you seen that one?
I have, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I have not.
No. Well, that's definitely...
I liked...
Sorry?
Mm-hmm. I liked it, but I thought the conclusion was a bit far-fetched beyond belief, but that's not a problem for me.
No, but it reminded me a little bit of like a Giallo. It started getting more and more ridiculous, but wrapped up in quite a very classy package.
Yes.
But yes, the ending is right out of a Giallo, that kind of reveal kind of thing. And But lots of great. It really kind of gets a lot of suspense out of her not really being able to see properly and being trapped in a house with the killer, and they're kind of stalking each other in the dark. So yeah, if you haven't seen it, that's a recommend from me. But
I'll check that one out as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's me wrapped up. So I think it's probably time. I think, is it time for the quiz?
Standalone quiz.
Yes.
That's okay, in no way related to the quiz from the previous show.
I've got more Inga clips, Eric, so watch your step.
Yeah, I'll be prepared to use them.
Right, Joseph, do you want to take it away?
Yes, this is the 1985 through 1989 slasher movie quiz. I can't think of a clever title, so we'll just go with that. But we will start with Eric, and you can pick door number one, door number two, or door number three.
I'm more of a window fan. So, I'll go for a door, I suppose. Door number one.
Door number one, all right. What is the name of the musical group that is the focus of 1985's Blood Tracks?
Oh, I did a quiz and I played a track by them. I can't think of what they're called, but I'm going to say The Creatures.
The Creatures.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. I will hand it over to Justin.
Is it Easy Action?
No, I'm sorry, that is incorrect. I will hand it to Nathan.
I'm sorry, I've only seen Blood Tracks once, and it's been a really long time ago.
Well,
I thought Easy Action was right. Is it not? No.
No, it's not. It's actually Solid Gold.
Oh. So, who are Easy Action then? Because that rings a bell.
Aren't they Easy Action was I can't remember, but I know Easy Action was a different movie.
All right.
Was it? Okay. It's not the it's not the real group who play Solid Gold, is it?
I don't know.
Well, I demand half a point if it is.
Well, I got this from your review, so.
Oh, did you? Well, I wouldn't believe anything I type. I was probably drunk.
Here, let me Google Blood Tracks and see. Because I think Easy Action could.
You got Google handy right there, do you?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
I'm on my computer using Skype. I mean, yeah. Easy Action is the name of the band. Justin gets a point.
Is it? It said Solid Gold in his review.
That's probably the band they play in the film, but the band behind the scenes are known as Easy Action. They were a real band. Yeah.
So I get a point.
That was the name of the group in the movie, so I guess I'll give Justin half a point.
I'll take half a point.
Okay, all right. But we're actually going to move on to Justin now, so would you like door number two or door number three?
Door number three, please.
All right. In 1985's Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning, what game were the residents not allowed to play according to a flyer late in the film?
As a fan of the movie, I don't even know the answer to that one.
I don't know. I would say, as a guess, I would say hide and seek.
No, that is incorrect. Nathan?
Monopoly. Strip Monopoly.
No, that is also incorrect. Eric?
Is the game they're not allowed to play hard to get?
No, I'm sorry. The answer is handball.
Obviously.
You see the flyer right as Jake leaves Violet's room. It says absolutely no handball playing in the hallway.
Well, darn. Why didn't I pay attention to stuff written on a bulletin board in the background?
You have to
for these quiz. Quizzes.
Yeah, well, how can you when Violet is doing her breakdancing? How can you focus
on
anything
else? How can you not watch it? Yeah.
Well, you just have to pay attention. All right, Nathan, this is for you. There you go. All right, Nathan, this is for you. It's door number two. In 1985's Horror House on Highway 5, the killer wears a Richard Nixon mask. There's another presidential link. What is that link?
Ronald Reagan.
That is correct. The actor playing the killer is named Ronald Reagan.
Very well done.
One point for Nathan. Yes, way. All right. We are going to move on to 1986 now, and I guess it would be – let's see who went. Eric
Justin first.
Okay, Justin first. All right, Justin, door number one, door number two, or door number three?
Door number two, I think, this time.
All right. In 1986's Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives, the cemetery caretaker, Martin, is singing. What is the name of the woman in the song he's singing? It's right before he gets killed.
Louise?
No, I'm sorry. Nathan?
Linda.
No, that's not it either. Eric?
Mary?
No, you're all wrong. I'm sorry. The answer is Kathleen. He says,
oh, yes. Yes.
Home again, Kathleen.
Yeah.
All right. Nathan, door number one or door number three?
One.
Did you say one?
Yes.
Okay. In an interview for this 1986 slasher film, the director, after having cited one of his or her previous films as depressing, said, blank, blank referring to the movie title, on the other hand, doesn't put audiences through that kind of experience. It says, come in, get scared, and laugh. Blank is more of an entertainment. What movie is he or she referring to? And a bonus point if you can name the director.
Let me think. 86. I don't know. Killer Party?
No, I'm sorry. Eric?
Evil Laugh?
No, I'm sorry. Justin?
I was going to say Killer Party as well. 86. I can't. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of something else from 86 that hasn't been said. I don't know.
I'm going to pass.
Sorry, C6 Sputnik.
There's something from 1986 that hasn't been said.
That is very true. I'm just looking at my DVD collection to see if I can see anything from that year. I think I'm going to have to pass. I can't think of anything.
So not even a wild guess?
I'm trying to think. I'm going blank about what films. About April Fool's Day?
That is correct. Can you, for a bonus point, can you name the director?
Fred Walton.
Yes, so that's 2 points for you, Justin.
Yay!
All right, so you are at 2.5.
No typing.
Nathan is at 1, and Eric is at 0.
Yeah, whatever.
All right.
I've got those Inga things. I've got my finger on the trigger, Eric.
So yeah, well, get ready.
All right.
See how I do it 1987, and then...
Okay. All right, Eric, this is for you. This is door number three. In 1986's, and you should get this, by the way, in 1986's Sorority House Massacre, whose clothes does Tracy want to try on, and what of Melanie's does Sarah suggest they eat?
Okay, they suggest they eat Melanie's ice cream, and they want to try on Cindy's clothes.
That is correct. That's a point for you.
Yeah, you just keep your finger away from that Inga button, goth boy.
We shall see. Right. We shall see.
Yeah, you talk better than you press buttons or something.
Thank you, Dorothy Parker.
Sorry?
1987, Nathan gets to go first. Door number one, door number two, or door number three?
Two.
All right, now these are partial taglines. What you have to do is tell me, I'm going to give you part of the tagline. You have to tell me what movie it is, and you get a bonus point if you can say the whole tagline.
Okay,
so you pick door number two. So what 1987 slasher film features this partial tagline? The ultimate test of survival. Now this is partial. There's more to it.
That sounds very, very, very familiar. It's Hunter's Blood.
That is correct. Can you give me the full tagline for a bonus point?
It's about deliverance. It's like after deliverance comes the ultimate test of survival.
That is correct.
Yeah,
3 points for Nathan. All right. So we are moving on to Eric. Door number one or door number three?
Door number one again, please.
Okay. What 1987 slasher film features this partial tagline? a masterpiece of spine-tingling horror and mind-bending suspense.
1987, okay.
Yes.
Do I have to complete the tagline as well?
That's just for a bonus point.
A masterpiece of terror.
A masterpiece of spine-tingling horror and mind-bending suspense.
Because I have been studying taglines over the weekend.
I know this one.
Blood Frenzy.
That is correct.
But I can't complete the thingy because it sounds like a complete tagline itself.
All right, I'll give a half a point to Justin if he can complete the tagline.
Okay, can you say it again?
A masterpiece of spine-tingling horror and mind-bending suspense.
I think the extra bit is, and that is a lie.
No, it's not a lie.
Is that your answer?
That is my answer.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Nathan, can you complete the tagline?
Yes, it is Hal Freeman presents.
Yes, that is correct. That's half a point for you.
I can't believe some study I did has actually worked.
Yeah, well done.
I just had that big box, VHS. It opened up and it had a picture of every one of the characters, and it also like talked about what their character was like in the movie. It was very cool.
All right.
Is Blood Frenzy the one about the twins that you have on Hysteria Continues YouTube
page? That's Blood Rage.
It's the one set in the desert with the original Wednesday Addams, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's actually really creepy too.
I'm
just kidding.
It's quite cheesy. It's the same people who did Iced, isn't it?
All right. Yes. I liked Iced. Oh,
yeah. It is.
All right, Justin, you are left with door number three. So,
okay.
What 1987 slasher film features this partial tagline? He's still knocking them dead.
He's still knocking them dead. That sounds familiar. Shocker.
No, I'm sorry. Oh. That is incorrect. Nathan.
Oh. He's still knocking them dead?
Yes.
The only thing I can think of is that Phantom movie, Phantom of Death, because it doesn't sound like anything else from 87.
No, I'm sorry. That is incorrect. Eric.
Okay, you've obviously been using Hysteria Lives as a resource for these questions. Is it You Will Die at Midnight?
No, I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Oh. The correct answer is Terror Night. Oh. And the complete tagline is Lance Never Hayward's acting career may be over, but he's still knocking them dead.
Wow.
All right, moving on to 1988, and so far we are at Eric has 2 points, Justin has 2.5, and Nathan has 3.5.
So Joseph really enjoys making it hard, doesn't he?
He certainly does.
Well, that could be taken out of context.
Hold on, I've got a little... Do you want to hear my new Kenneth Williams quote?
Oh, yes, please. Yes,
please.
Oh, where am I going to get all this lot in?
Blimey, you have got a lot there.
No, it's impossible. Ah! Oh, listen, you wriggle and I'll shove.
We're nearly there.
Don't stop.
Look, push the knob in. It won't work if you don't push the knob in.
Certainly doesn't work.
It doesn't work unless you push the knob in. Mm. Sorry, Joseph.
All right, 1988. We are back to Eric. So door number one, door number two, or door number three?
Door number three.
All right, door number three. Okay. This 1988 slasher film was the final role for what John Waters mainstay? 2 points if you can name the actor and the movie.
Well, Divine died in 1988, but his last movie was Hairspray, I thought. It's Divine then.
Yes, that's 1 point.
As for the movie, I didn't know Divine was in a slasher movie.
Yeah, it's according to the IMDb, this is his last appearance.
Okay. Is it A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, Dream Master? Does he play...
No, I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
I didn't even get to say a stupid comment, you interrupted me.
Oh, he was going to say something funny.
All right.
I was going to say something stupid. It wasn't necessarily funny.
Justin, I will give you a point if you can name the movie.
It's Out of the Dark.
That is correct, Justin.
I don't know he was in that. I've heard of that film. I don't think I've seen it.
Well, he doesn't play... He's not in drag. He's...
He's as Glenn, whatever his name was,
Glenn Milstead. Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right, Justin, door number one or door number two?
Door number one, please.
Door number one. This 1988 semi-slasher film features an actor who played a stuttering student in 1985's Real Genius. Which movie is it?
So I've never seen Real Genius, so I've no idea who was in that. And it's a semi-slasher movie, so...
Well, I would call it a slasher movie, but I would say it's more supernatural.
I don't know is the answer. I'm trying to think what slasher, supernatural type slasher movies came out in 1988. I can't think of any, sorry.
Okay, how about you, Nathan?
Oh, the only supernatural slasher I know that came out of 88 was something like Ghost House.
No, I'm sorry. Eric?
Well, the only actor I know in Real Genius is Val Kilmer, but was he in any slasher films in 1988? Was he in A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, The Dream Master? Did he play the bodybuilding woman with the big hair who turned into a cockroach? That was Val Kilmer.
That is correct.
Yay!
Well done, Eric.
Thanks.
Is that your actual guess or?
Yeah, because otherwise, I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. The answer is Child's Play.
Ooh, I did think about saying that, but I didn't.
Was Val Kilmer in Child's Play?
No, it was. I can't remember the actor's name, but he played Bodie in Real Genius, and he stuttered, and he played the cop's partner in Child's Play.
All right. Okay.
So. Mm.
All right, so who was next? That would be Nathan. Justin got that question. So Nathan, you're left with door number two. All right, okay. you'll probably get this one.
Which
actress who starred in a 1988 slasher film was once quoted as saying she doesn't do schlock and that she would love to do a Tarantino film? A bonus point if you can name the 1988 slasher film in which she starred.
Okay, I'm going to think about this now. She doesn't do schlock, and she would love to do a Tarantino film?
Yes. Even though this movie's pretty schlocky.
It's very schlocky. Huh. I know this quote. I know if I don't get this right, I'm going to lose this quiz. I'm not good at interviews. That's, I guess I'm going to have to say, I don't know. Am I supposed to name the film or the actress?
You got to name the film, but you get a bonus point. Actually, you got to name the actress, but you get a bonus point if you can name the movie.
Okay. The only thing I'm thinking of is Juliet Cummins.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Eric.
I can't think. It's not a schlocky movie, but it would be Danielle Harris in Halloween 4.
What is it with you in Halloween 4? Or part 4s of anything, really?
Is it anyone in A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4? No. Dream Master? No. Is it the woman with the big hair does the bodybuilding?
Yeah.
Who turns into a cockroach?
I'm going to go ahead and pass this one on to Justin, unless you have an answer.
Yeah, you just passed on.
Well, Justin. I know that Leslie Donaldson loves what really keeps on going on about wanting Tarantino to put her in a movie, but obviously I don't think Leslie Donaldson was in any slasher movies in 1988.
Wasn't she in A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, The Dream Master?
She had the big hair, and she turned into a cockroach.
She was the bodybuilder, turned into a cockroach.
So that's my answer.
Is that your real answer?
That's my real answer because I don't. Well, because I was thinking it may be something like a sort of The Hand that Rocks the Cradle or something like that, but it's probably not if it's really schlocky. I don't know is my answer.
All right, the actress is Lisa Loring, and the film was Iced.
Oh, so we mentioned Lisa Loring already, didn't we? Because she was Wednesday Addams, wasn't she?
Wow. All right, moving on to this 1989, which is the final round. Eric is at 3, Justin and Nathan are tied at 3.5. So,
I'm not miles behind.
No, Justin, you go first. So door number 1, door number 2, or door number 3?
Ooh, be kind to me, door number 3.
All right, now this is these are quotes from the slasher movie.
Pardon?
That's what you said last night. Oh, be kind to me, door number 3. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. It just sounds rude.
It does sound rude. Are you on the rum and cokes?
No. I'm on Smirnoff.
Smirnoff? Oh,
yeah, Smirnoff Lime.
Oh, okay. I was on Smirnoff.
Yeah, it makes everything sound rude.
Hmm? Yes, yes.
You were on what? Sorry?
Oh, no, I was drinking Absolute vodka, raspberry vodka last night. That was quite nice. But anyway, sorry, back to door number 3, Joseph. And this
back to door number 3. Okay, yes. Let's see. These are quotes from slasher movies in 1989.
Okay.
And door number 3 is, the guy's a nuthead.
The guy's a nuthead. The guy's a nuthead. Nothing jumps to mind, so I think I'm just going to have to try and think of a slasher movie that came out in 1989, which none come to mind straight off the bat, so I think I'm going to lose this. Can I have a clue, or is that...
Travel.
You're prepared for clues.
Sorry?
Travel. Travel.
Travel.
That's your clue. Travel.
No, I can't. What film? Dead Girls?
No, I'm sorry. I'll hand it over to Nathan.
That'd be Freeway Maniac. And Justin, you actually gave that one away to me because I read your review for that like 2 days ago.
Oh. I've lost.
Nathan got a point.
Well done,
Nathan.
If I get my one wrong, Justin, it'll be passed on to you, and you might still get a point.
You can still beat me.
The tension mounts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Nathan, door number 1 or door number 2?
1.
All right. To which 1980s slasher does this quote belong? Hey, Ron, what's this crap about a maniac?
Houseboat Horror.
No, I'm sorry. That is incorrect. Eric.
Moonstalker.
That is correct.
Mm. Way to go, Eric.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, and Eric, the final question is for you. So to win this one, all you have to do is get this right.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. To which 1989 slasher does this quote belong? Daddy, please don't kill me.
Oh. Daddy, please don't kill me, 1989. Is it A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 5, Dream Child? The guy who gets sucked into the comic says that to his father, who doesn't like him reading comics.
I'm just going to go ahead and say no.
Okay.
I will pass this.
Is it Nightmare on Street Part 4? Because it wasn't released until 1989 in Ireland.
That's incorrect. I'm sorry. Justin?
The only thing I can think is obviously, would it be Return of the Family Man?
That is correct.
Ooh.
That was also now.
Sorry?
But now, Justin and Nathan are tied with 4.5 and Eric is at 4. So now we're going to have a tiebreaker question.
Oh.
All right. Now this is just a guess. Justin might have a bit of an advantage here. So don't look. How many movies in 1980 did Justin review on the Hysteria Lives website?
Well, do we both just shout out a number or something?
Just for the year 1980, not all of 80s, but just 1980. So I will go with Justin, I'll go with you first.
17?
No, I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Nathan?
18.
No, that is also incorrect. The correct answer is 31.
So I win.
No, I'm sorry.
So So,
all right, we'll do another tiebreaker question.
Okay.
Like either one of us would have known that.
Yeah.
All right. Nathan, you'll get to go first this time to guess. Okay. In this 1980s slasher film, the actual year 1980, not 1980s.
Okay.
Where is the action set in the movie The Prey?
It's set in the forest.
No, you have to give me the name of the forest.
Like the actual name of the forest? Whitaker. Like,
yes.
Are you talking about...
It says it on the screen.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant something else. Okay, well, it's the Rockies, Colorado, right?
No, I'm sorry.
Damn!
I'm trying to think of it's a famous forest in the States. Is it... well, I know it's filmed in California, but you know what my geography's like. Was it Ontario Forest?
Ontario Forest.
No, I'm trying to think of a famous forest.
I could have sworn site said the Colorado Rockies, because all I've been doing lately is reading reviews on his site to prepare for this quiz.
Me too.
You've been reading too much like Savage crazy. Water. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a forest. There must be. What's the national park? The Utah National Park. I don't know.
Jellystone.
No, I'm sorry. The answer is the North Point Keen Wild.
Oh, God, I should have got that.
So close. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to do another one. Another tiebreaker.
Just call it a tie.
Somebody has to win. We can't have ties on mine. So, all right. This 1984 slasher film, this will go to Justin, has this quote, "I've got a bad feeling about this."
Well, that sounds very familiar.
I've got a bad feeling about this? I mean, that's so generic.
That's the dialogue in this 1984 slasher film.
I've got a bad feeling about this. Friday the 13th, Part 4?
No, I'm sorry. Nathan?
Splatter University?
No, I'm sorry. The answer is The Mutilator. All right, here's what I'm going to do. Yes. I'm going to do one more tiebreaker question. If neither of you get it right, Eric will win by default.
Yay!
I don't think that's fair.
No, it is fair.
I'll play Inga.
I will too.
Okay, this is another choice dialogue from a 1983 slasher film. Now, Nathan, you get to go first. It is, I know you are in here. Where are you? I am going to have to disqualify you now. Now.
Oh, Fatal Games.
Yeah,
that I would have correct. Got that
as well.
Nathan wins with 5.5 points.
Well done, Nathan.
Thank you, Justin comes in second with four and a half, and Eric comes in with 4.
Yes, not miles behind, as I keep saying. Only a half a point.
You almost won that one.
I did.
Although I was surprised because, I have to give a lot of credit to Justin's site. I have to share partial of my win with him because all I've done this week is study.
Me too. I'm taking this thing too seriously, I think.
Well, you all did very well.
I haven't studied at all, but I suppose. But how's it going to work now? Because now Nathan's won one, and Eric's won another.
In the next episode, I'm given the quiz. So
okay. Well, shouldn't there be a tie break between Nathan and Eric to see who comes out on top?
No.
Oh yes, there should.
I want to start.
How can you just look at me like that and laugh at me? You're satisfied, I suppose, that Ralph couldn't come.
Yeah. Well, I won.
Well, actually, I know who comes out on top in this one. It would actually be Eric because he got more points right in the first half than Nathan did in the second half.
Yes.
Okay.
Yay.
So no more tiebreaker questions. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, thank you, Joseph, for that quiz. I think we know what's coming next, don't we?
Yes.
So, Joseph, you're going to come back in after the trailer for Nail Gun Massacre.
I'm going to come
peaceful
really
town
hard.
Somewhere in America.
I said, put that thing down!
Well, what do you think?
Up until the nail gun this.
Well, you just pissed me off.
The town.
Sheriff and the doctor are close on the killer's tail. And then another nail gun massacre happens. Dreadfully mutilated corpses line the killer's way. Uninhibited frenzy. Terry Lofton's knack in presenting gruesome situations has made him famous beyond the borders. A masterpiece that already has many followers in the USA. Nail Gun Massacre. Out now.
Hell, just let me see if I use you in one of my movies again.
All right, first let me just say I love the brilliance behind getting a proper English gentleman to do the narration on that homegrown American trailer. And the way he says massacre is just funny. Massacre? Did anyone pick up on that? That's kind of yeah. funny. Anyway.
Is he English? I thought he might be in South African or something.
Or Dutch.
I don't know. But he Dutch, just had yeah. one of those accents. So anyway. Forget about that guy with the chainsaw and start worrying about the deranged nail gun killer. A beautiful young girl, haha, is brutally gang raped by construction workers at a building site in a small Texas town. Suddenly, mutilated bodies begin turning up. Nailed up, nailed to trees, nailed to the pavement, nailed to each other. The nail gun maniac is deadly and no one knows who he'll hammer down next. It's a piercing, no-holes-barred trip into industrial-strength horror. Okay, I first happened upon Nail Gun Massacre way back in 1998 at a little video shop called David's Video. It's a place that had more porn titles than general cinema, not that I know from experience, ahem, but anyway, I saw this cheesy but lurid cover with the word massacre in the title and just had to rent it. Upon first watching, I hated it. I was on a kick of watching any slasher I could find. But I wanted nothing else but quality outings like My Bloody Valentine, Terror Train, Just Before Dawn, blah, 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 blah. And Nail Gun Massacre wouldn't know quality if it marinated in it for 2 weeks straight. But all of a sudden, the killer silly one-liners kind of got stuck in my head, and I was compelled to watch the movie again and again and again. To make a long story short, my appreciation for Nail Gun Massacre grew, and now it's probably my all-time favorite bad movie. For me, I mean, nothing else comes close. It is, I mean, it's wildly entertaining, and it's just hilarious from start to finish. It's a low-budget stink bomb with just the right amount of unintentional hilarity you just can't replicate by trying. No, this is like truly a golden accident of the highest order. Everything about the movie, worked for the wrong reasons, of course. The stupid dialogue, the horrendous acting, and especially the out-of-the-place music that underpins most of the movie, even the most tranquil of scenes. You think someone on a telephone, and then all of a sudden, Justin, I was about to say, I do believe you might have that. I think we might have heard it once or 10,000 times earlier in the episode, but thanks. There you go. Anyway, I could easily spend hours and hours going over the minutiae of Nail Gun Massacre from the "Do you remember when you could sit outside and not worry about the mosquitoes and the killers" type of lines to the sheriff's many moments of talking to himself. And how about that forest-bound sex scene where we have to look at a hairy back for what seems like 10 minutes, not to mention the pumping of the hairy buttocks. I digress. Do not expect any thrills, spills, or chills from Nail Gun Massacre and open up a six-pack or whatever your poison may be, grab a slice of pizza and get ready to laugh yourself into a stupor. What do you think, Eric?
Okay, well, growing up in the 80s, a film with a title like Nail Gun Massacre was something I would desperately have wanted to see. But again, it would be a film that would never have made it into the video shops back in those days. But, you know, anything with a power tool in the title or massacre in the title was very much sort of subject to censorship or complete outright banning. So I don't remember Nail Gun Massacre ever appearing on the shelves over here. And beyond the lurid title, what you might expect is ultra-violence and maybe a very serious film, maybe something like Driller Killer, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but instead you get boobs, blood, and bad acting, which, in my opinion, is the perfect far more... The perfect three... Well, two out of three ain't bad. like you say, there's a really clumsy structure to Nail Gun Massacre. I think a good comparison for it, a good companion piece, is Don't Go in the Woods Alone. It reminds me very much of that film. And if you like that, I think you'll like Nail Gun Massacre. And I did enjoy Nail Gun Massacre. You said it's your favorite, quote, bad movie. I don't think it's anywhere near as good as something like Pieces or Bloody Moon for me. I think they're far more entertaining. The problem with Nail Gun Massacre, I think, is that I think what they filmed, they made a film and then realized it was about 50 minutes long and then went back and filmed all these inserts. So you have all these random characters appearing out of nowhere, getting killed, you know, and then disappearing.
That's
and
part
you have
of the charm for me.
Well, it is part of the charm, I suppose. But like even 10 minutes from the end of the film, those two girls looking for gasoline, you know, wander into the yard of the killer. And get killed off. Like even at that late stage in the film, people are still wandering in as you know, fodder for the killer. But I mean, it is fun. I mean, it could do with probably a bit more of a cohesive narrative, if I'll be honest, because like there's those three kids who, you know, as the IMDb calls it, the infamous store scene. Like they're buying supplies and they're going out to the Old Bailey house to renovate it. And they're being set up as these main characters in the film. And then at about the 45-minute mark, they completely disappear. They mention something about, oh, our nail gun is missing. And that's the last we see of them, which seems very odd, I have to say. I mean, it cuts then to a scene of two guys who are having a mock fight with nail guns, which is kind of a health and safety risk, I would think. But I was under the impression, are they the two guys who we've been following all this time? Are they different guys? Yeah, they are different, because I rewatched it and went, okay, they're different guys. So obviously these three people just drop out of the story completely for no reason. But again, as you say, that's part of the charm, I suppose. It gave me one of the greatest chat-up lines ever. That just after the credits roll, a girl says to her boyfriend as they're in bed, it's time for an organ donation. I'm the recipient and you're the donor. And that's definitely a line I'm going to be using in future. Can I get into a spoiler territory here?
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
I mean, it's not really a film that relies on mystery, to be fair. But for the bulk of the film, it is definitely a woman up in the killer's outfit, isn't it? Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They actually used a woman stunt person.
Yeah. So then at the end of the film, it's revealed to be there's a rape victim at the start of the film. And then at the end, it's revealed to be her brother is the killer. Is that what we're to read into that?
Yes.
Yeah. That is because correct. The doctor says, as he sees the killer lying dead, he says, at least now the killing is over. And the sheriff says, is it? Which kind of reminded me of the end of Terror Eyes, where the killer's boyfriend takes the fall for the killer. I'm wondering if that was the intention, if she is in fact the killer and her brother has taken the fall for her.
I'm not quite sure.
It could mean that she's going to keep, she's going to continue killing. Mm. So you never know.
Yeah. And the ending kind of reminded me of Prom Night as well, with the sister cradling her brother and crying. And it was quite like, she is easily the best actress in the film, even though she's not in it very much. The acting, this is the for bad death scenes, this is the best film ever. I mean, there's a guy who falls onto a barbecue that just makes me roll around the place laughing every time I see it, because it's the most unconvincing fall. And those two hitchhiking girls who come looking for gasoline, I mean, they can't die convincingly to save their lives, if that's not a oxymoron. I'm not sure if it
is. Not to mention, when the guy falls onto the barbecue pit, he actually pushes himself back up after he's
yes. and then looks sideways to the camera as well. It's very bizarre. it's for bad death scenes, you'll not do better than, I mean, it's far better than Pieces and that for bad death scenes. I'll agree with that. But overall, I don't think it's as entertaining a bad movie as that. I don't know if it's one I'd rewatch that much, but I did enjoy it, I have to say. You know, for bad movie hilarity, it's good fun.
Okay.
And it's got some tasty eye candy in it as well.
For you. For you, maybe. All right, Nathan.
Oh, God, where do I even begin? Let's see. I love the scene in the store where the lady running the store obviously forgets one of her lines, and one of the other characters has to pick it up for her because she says, what is it? She's like, they found some dead bodies, and then one of the guys kind of pauses for a minute, and he goes, I guess what you're about to say is, and then he pretty much just says whatever her line was. You know, I love that scene where he picks that up. I love the whole idea of the sheriff saying somebody's gone loco with a hammer and a box of nails. I mean, because these victims apparently just lay down and let somebody hammer nails into them. And also the truck driver saying this is something from a motorcycle gang, you know, a victim with nails stuck in him. I don't know if the motorcycle gangs routinely carry around nail guns. Let's see. There's that crazy line. I love the line where one of the biker guys says, where the hell's County Line Road? And he kind of does this like head movement from side to side. let's see. What else? Like Eric said, why are these two idiots shooting at each other with nail guns? And then when the killer shows up with a nail gun, they're scared. I mean, yeah, they were like trying to hit each other with nails earlier. And
they were just having fun.
How long is it into the movie before anybody involved with that rape finally gets killed?
Yeah, I mean, he seems
The guy at the start, the very nice-looking guy at the start, gets killed, and he's involved in the rape.
I'm not sure who you mean by nice-looking. and one of my favorite things in the movie is, you know the guy that that's with his girlfriend, the one with the volcano boobies?
Oh, yeah.
Towards the beginning, the organ donor. He and his friend go out to cut wood in his friend's truck because his friend's name is Brad. And later, I believe the sheriff says something about the truck belongs to a Brad something, 22 years of age. And if you see this guy, I mean, yeah, he was 22 like 22 years ago. I mean, he is not 22. Like, where did that even come from?
I know somebody else who was 22 years ago.
Who
was that then?
A million miles away from us now.
Oh.
Well, he is a million miles away.
Oh, Eric.
It's true, though.
Well, it's not true, because I'm not that old. And a year out.
Sorry?
A year out.
Oh, sorry.
Technically, you really are, aren't you? Won't you be that age this year?
I will be that age this year, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
So technically, I could have been old enough to be in this movie.
You were the Brad character,
aren't you? The Brad. Where the guys are buying supplies and the woman runs out there. And, you know, I guess she has a reason that she's so angry all the time now because she was the rape victim. But how mean she is to those two guys just because they forgot to get their receipt. Mm. I mean, these are customers. And she runs out going, hey, you dipshits, you forgot the receipt.
He's like, I'm sorry. She's like, you're sorry, all right.
Oh, and I love dude who takes his girlfriend, potential girlfriend, for a $1.19 special at this little restaurant, you know, the grilled cheese. But actually what's crazy is they bring out hamburgers. They don't even bring out grilled cheeses, which that's what he ordered. So interesting stuff there.
I wish I could get a hamburger for $1.19. They're like $7 here.
Yeah.
This is 1985 country. This and then he services her on the bonnet of the car, or the hood, sorry, as you call it over there.
Mm. I like. I like. I guess,
what a romantic. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like when the killer says to
the Bible Belt.
Yeah. The killer says to her, doesn't he? Get in the car, big tits. I thought it was a great line.
You big tits.
Isn't it weird though that she's the only victim in that whole movie the killer has any sympathy for before he kills her? For some reason, he like. Or she, whatever. I mean, it's the kind of issue, like you said, it's a woman playing it during that scene. But when it's like, I'm sorry, you just don't understand, and then kills her. Mm. Also, like that guy on the hood of the car gets killed from a nail to the elbow.
Yeah, it's a very dangerous spot.
He dies from tetanus. Yeah,
apparently, and he dies instantly too.
Yeah.
Well, the funny part is it's the hitchhiker. He's like, when he sees who's in the car and he pulls up the nail gun, he goes, he puts his hand up and he goes, no, no, please. He doesn't bother to move out of the way or anything.
I like the fact that they just that when the call comes in to the sheriff, it's like there's a guy and he's nailed to the highway. How can he be nailed to the highway?
Yeah, how does the nail go through the pavement?
Yeah.
Oh, and I love the old when they find the random dead body in the middle of town, and the old guy's like, "What do you think made all them holes in there, sheriff?"
And there's nails sticking out of them. He's like, "If I had my guess, it would be the same thing that did it to all the others."
And I like how they just leave dead bodies lying around, like, you know.
Oh, don't worry, Lou will be back with the ambulance.
Well, yeah, because there's a scene where the sheriff is like, why didn't you call us in last night? And when they find the dead bodies in the woods, and he's like, we did call it in last night, and they told us they couldn't be bothered coming out because it was a bit dark.
I like how the sheriff doesn't – he berates the doctor. He's like, when are you going to start dressing like a doctor? And the doctor's like, I got sick of wearing white. But the sheriff doesn't dress like a sheriff. He wears like a toy badge on his shirt, and that's it.
And very high-waisted jeans.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass it on to Justin now because there's too much to talk about.
Well, there is. I mean, I've actually got the – it was one of the videos that I got on a haul when I was in the States – probably back in 2001. So I've got it here. It's the Magnum Entertainment video, and I bought it and I watched it around with my friend Gina in New Jersey. We watched it one night, and she had half a bottle of something called Bishop's Tipple or something, and then she was violently sick. But before that, we laughed outrageously all the way through the movie. And the other people with us weren't quite so taken with it, but it was one of my favourite memories, actually, is watching this because it was so bad. And I haven't actually seen it since, so it was a bit of a treat to rewatch it. And it's as bad as I remember it and as funny as I remember it. So, I mean, some of my favourite... I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Well, not funny, but it's right at the beginning, you've got this kind of rape scene. And I don't know any other film that starts with a rape scene. I mean, so, you know, even like I Spit on Your Grave has the good decency to wait for a little while before someone gets raped.
Doesn't Humongous start with a rape scene?
Is it does, actually. But it's not quite
it
does, as...
but it takes it a few minutes to get going. I mean...
And she doesn't actually get raped in it, does she? Because she kills him. But it was just kind of having that sort of bad taste. And also, as you said, Joseph, the woman is probably the best actress or actor in the whole thing. So it starts off, if you didn't know what kind of movie it was, you might be thinking, actually, this is going to be quite a gritty kind of sort of film, until it then goes...
question, but sorry to interrupt you, but my question is, why? How do you do a rape scene where none of the rapists or even the rape victim have their clothing removed?
Yeah, I know.
Is it just a lot of like heavy petting or something?
Well, then it cuts to the scene, doesn't it? As you said, with torpedo tits. And this woman, the breasts are the least natural breasts I've seen. There couldn't be any. They do almost look like she's like Lolo Ferrari, but much smaller. You know, that's kind of really. You know, you take your eye out if you got hit by one of those nipples because they were just so solid, weren't they? They obviously.
There's a twist on A Christmas Story. You can have breast implants. You'll take your eye out.
But once it cuts to that, you kind of know that that's the way it's going to go. I mean, the other bits you talked a lot about stuff that's I really liked the opening kill with the really fat woman outside pinning out her washing with a baby.
Yeah. Mary Sue, get in here, right?
She could run really fast for a fat woman.
Yeah, but what happens
to them? She's
carrying
that baby in her arm, too, and it's like its head's wobbling all over the place. Isn't there like child safety laws applied to that?
What do we think of her reaction to finding her dead husband?
She sort of comes out and goes, like dry heave, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But they say to the sheriff, oh, have you found her and the baby? And he says, yes, we have. And that was it. There was no, like, you know, in what way? Because she was the only person that the killer didn't kill. Because this is the other thing with the film. Why was the killer killing all these people? Obviously, it was a revenge against the rape. But the vast majority of the victims had nothing to do with the rape, did they?
Yeah, no.
So that was strange. I did love I do love scenes in stores with non-actors. It reminds me a little bit of the Satan's Blade. There's a great scene
and
when they're in
the Mutilator as well as one.
Yeah. And I love, because Josie, you'll probably talk a little bit more about this later, but the so I won't spoil who it was, but the old lady who obviously, you know, they kind of bust in, and she was reading her lines, wasn't she, from behind a brown paper bag. And she was such a bad actress, or so nervous, that one of her lines was $19.60. And then she said to say it again. She had to look back down on the big piece of paper to repeat it. $19.60. it was just kind of... It was great. And also, the other bit, you talked a little bit about the barbecue death. But I love the fact that the killer was underwater in this... the killer basically was waiting for his victim or her victim in their swimming pool, right next to the patio where he was making grilling steaks or whatever. And so the killer gets out of the swim pool and then shoots and that kills him. But I was thinking, how would you not notice somebody in a crash helmet in black leather with a huge nail gun in about 2 feet of water? Right next to your barbecue, but obviously.
And see, that's funny because the killer wears this camouflage clothing, yet he has this big pneumatic nail gun that has a giant yellow compression tube that you can see out in the woods. So he's not really camouflaged very well. He can hide in the woods, and he can hide in swimming pools. He's just, wow, he's very talented.
Yeah. Well, what's the other couple of little things that are funny was the Magnum video I've got is slightly censored, I think, and it's got the butt scene out, you know, the bikers having sex against a tree.
Oh, I love that scene.
But bizarrely, I thought you would, but bizarrely, scene, the full butt scene is in the trailer, but not in the actual movie that I saw. So that was...
The guy is standing there sort of bow-legged, you know, giving his girlfriend one up against the tree.
Yeah.
And, and he has his trousers around his ankles, and it's just the most unerotic scene you could imagine.
Well, one of my favorite quotes is near that scene. I didn't include it in the dialogue because it's got a lot of music behind it, but it's when the other biker gets nailed to the tree and he just kind of sits there and goes, "God, why me?"
He does.
God, why me?
I love his girlfriend's, like, hysterics because he's been gone for, like, 20 minutes and she starts going crying and, like, saying stuff like, "Oh, God, I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die."
He wasn't even gone that long. He was gone for, like, a minute.
I think she was hysterical because she realized how much she resembled Gloria Estefan in the Dr. Beat video.
Mm.
No?
No, I think you're spot on there, Eric.
Yeah,
thank you. No, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it is an awful, awful movie but like a lot of good, bad movies, it's very, very entertaining. But I think I agree with Eric. I think if there'd been a little bit more coherency plot-wise, because all it really does is it staggers from one scene to another without really, you know, sort of joining up the dots, really, apart from the killer just stalking random people and killing. And also, I think although I appreciate, obviously, a slasher movie with a high body count, just killing everyone and anyone that gets in the way or just happens to stumble into shot, it just makes the killer's motive completely irrelevant, doesn't it? It's the killer has, unless the killer became completely unhinged and now it's killing everyone who kind of happens to sort of turn up. But also the killer drives around in this, is it a hearse?
It's a hearse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I thought was quite a nice touch, is, you know, this killer turning.
It's a big gold hearse, and then the sheriff, when he sees it on the side of the road, he doesn't know to whom it belongs. In a small town, I mean, you'd think that would kind of stand out. You'd go, "Oh, that belongs to Roy down the road. What's it doing out here?" He's like, "Oh, we've never seen it before."
Yes. But, well, that's my penny's worth at the moment, but I'm sure there's much more to talk about.
Well, can I just say that? Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, on the Hysteria Lives, Joseph has reviewed this on Hysteria Lives, and I've said this before on the podcast. He gives it a five-star review, and the start of the review is very serious. And it's like, "Oh, this is a major work of art," and that. And I believed it because I didn't read the review all the way through. So when I started to watch Nail Gun Massacre for the first time about 2 years ago, I was like, I was watching that rape scene and going, "Okay, yeah, this is a really intense movie, obviously." And then Thunder Tits comes out, and I'm like, "Okay, something's wrong here." And then I read all the review and I said, "Okay, Joseph, you had me fooled." You had me fooled. Well done.
We all have names really for that paid girl, by the way. It's like Thunder Tits, Volcano Tits, Torpedo Tits.
Yeah. Well, she's not just tits. She has wonderful back-combed hair as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. And her tan lines.
Jeez. Oh, my God, her tan lines. It's like, go to a nudie beach, woman, for God's sake.
Sorry, I promised Brad I'd go chop wood with him.
That's more important than anything else.
Yeah, it's more important than sex to a 22-year-old guy. Yeah,
more important than sex to me.
Well, chopping wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. I like the I love the love-hate relationship between the sheriff and the doctor. They're always kind of at each other's throats about who could be the killer and et cetera, et cetera. I love the scene where he's like, well, it seems to me it's pretty apparent what's going on out here. He goes, no, dog, not that. I mean, why is it that everyone who dies comes out here to get picked off? And he's like, well, Tom, I'm sure in your infinite wisdom you'll figure it out in due time. But for now, it's back to business. And the sheriff's like, don't fuck with me, doc. And he's like, I'm not fucking with you, son. And he pats him on the shoulder.
He very clearly was. He was being sarcastic.
Yeah. They have this whole love-hate relationship going on. And I guess they're the closest to what you'd call main characters, even though they're pretty terrible characters.
Justin, did the sheriff remind you of Guy Garvey from Elbow?
Oh, well, I guess a little bit. Yeah, well, I hadn't thought of that, but...
Yeah. He reminded me of Dan Haggerty.
Oh, actually, yeah. From Grizzly Adams, yeah.
Yeah, huh.
What did we think of the killer's one-liners?
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of them I couldn't understand. I had to rewind and go, what was he saying? Or she saying?
Well, but yeah, they're very good. Pissed me off.
Well, I liked your own little take on that, Joseph, in the intro.
Yeah. Very like good. You hitchhikers are all like stuck out on the highway. Stupid.
Well, yes. Well, that is Nail Gun Massacre. I mean, we could talk a little bit more about it, but Joseph, you said you've got quite a lot of background info.
Yeah, I got a few things here. Apparently, I mean, I don't know if this is true, but I had heard that the sex scene against the tree was actually not staged. I believe someone said they were actually having sex in that scene. And
I'm not surprised.
No, I'm not either. It actually does look realistic.
I was thinking that when I was watching it.
Yeah,
but with Terry Lofton, he said that they're not actually having sex, but he goes, they're as close to it as you can possibly get without actually doing it.
Okay. But anyway, I also see the actress that was originally supposed to play the store clerk, she didn't show up to shoot that day, so Terry Lofton got his grandmother, and she was actually the real clerk of the store. And so she ended up, you know, reading her lines, like, as Justin said, straight from the script, which can be seen on the counter in front of her. And I like the bit where she's like, do you remember when you could sit outside and not worry about the mosquitoes and the killers? And then she immediately follows that up with, I'll bet you've never seen a butterfly, a wild butterfly. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
What is this? And then later Lofton had said that his grandmother was embarrassed for actually appearing in the movie because she found out how much sex was in it later when it was released. Mm-hmm. And, according to Terry Lofton, the original script for the movie was 80 pages long, but when the budget limitations came down, the script was cut to a mere 25 pages. Additional scenes of nudity were added to the film at the demand of the distributors because I guess that was what was selling at the time. Certainly wasn't thrills. They just like, well, you know, need more naked people. But Terry Lofton also said the movie was inspired by some construction worker friends of his who he saw having an actual nail gun battle like in the film at a construction site. And then he literally recreated that for the movie. And he also said in the documentary Nailed, he said the nails that stick out of the bodies were actual nails grinded down and glued onto the actors. He said he stated specifically the scene where Doc and the sheriff find the girl laying in the ditch by the hardware store would often receive a lot of flack from the fans, you know, for showing what were obviously rubber nails, but he insisted that they were real. It's like when they moved, the glue had not set right, so it made them wobble and it looked rubber, but he said they were actual real nails. And, of course, we know Terry Lofton passed away in March of 2011. He was only 48. He died a little too young, but another one, it's not really anything. Well, I guess it does have to do with the movie, and I've mentioned it before, is that John from Retro Slashers. He had interviewed Terry Lofton a few months before his death, and he was asking about his role as the truck driver while he was unaware that it was actually Terry Lofton playing the role. He hilariously stuck his foot in his mouth in the interview when he asked, "Where did you get that fat tub of lard, truck driver?" Terry's response was, "That was me," with several exclamation points attached to "that was me." Yes, fantastic. I always got a kick out of that. Yeah, and yeah. Then let's see. The film was re-released to VHS exclusively at Texas Frightmare Weekend a couple of years back in a retro clamshell case complete with new artwork and a music video called Nailed to the Wall from a metal band also named Nailgun Massacre. But it was limited to 1,000 copies, so if you obtained one, you might want to hang on to it for collector's sake. And let's see. The movie was also known as, at one point, Texas Nailgun Massacre and Construction Kills. And that is all I have on it. Anybody else?
I read that the doc and the woman who has hysterics, the biker chick, are married.
Okay, yeah, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm.
I read that Clive Barker was so influenced by Nailgun Massacre that it was the influence behind Pinhead in the novella Hellbound Heart and later the movie Hellraiser.
Probably.
Did I say read? I meant dreamt. Sorry.
That isn't true, though, is it, Eric?
No.
No.
I mean, I said to you in an email I didn't really have time to do research this week.
No, no. Well, I think you've covered, Joseph, because I haven't actually got the DVD, so you've covered
most of... How did you watch the film then, Justin?
How did I watch the film? On video.
Oh, yeah.
On VHS.
Yeah.
Yeah, on my Magnum VHS, which I have in front of me, which has a fantastic bit of artwork on it, which it's a shame they didn't reuse this, because it's got a really, really badly painted killer who's got legs look about 17 foot tall.
The crotch is hiked up to his, like, chest.
I know. It's kind of the... It's, yes, bizarre. It's bizarre. And there's a couple of nail-gunned ladies on the highway. But
Yes, I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, but it's just bizarre the way because it's not actually that badly painted. Like but the perspective on the killer, it just looks really odd.
The tagline is a very penetrating story.
Yes,
it's cheaper than a chainsaw.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, it's. I think it was probably his only movie, wasn't it?
It was.
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
But what a legacy he left behind.
Indeed. And of course, Nathan, your grandmother's been in quite a few of your movies, but she hasn't been shocked by the sex scenes.
I know, she hasn't been. Mm. I have to say, I think my grandmother, and I'm not trying to, you know, brag here, but I think my grandmother is a little bit better of an actress.
Mm. Hazel Tankersley.
That's her, Hazel Tankersley. Yep. Anybody want an autograph, just let me know.
Okay.
But apart from that,
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I can't think of anything else about the movie. It's a shame. I think you did have a look to see if we could get anyone because it's got a huge cast, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I tried to track down a lot of people, but either the ones I wrote just didn't answer, or I didn't know if it was really them or not. I don't know.
Well, it's probably their only credits as well, wasn't it? Did anyone go on to do anything else with this movie?
Well, I know Sheriff and Doc, I know they did a couple of other things in the 80s. Like, I think they did like small little guest spots on, I want to say Falcon Crest or some show like that. Maybe like another movie, but other than that, I think this is probably a one-time thing for everyone involved.
Well, the IMDb lists Jerry Nelson as one of the cast members. Now, he's one of the Muppets, he's a puppeteer on the Muppets. Which I find it difficult to believe he was in Nailgun Massacre. They have him down as victim number one.
Yeah, was he the guy with torpedo boobs?
No, I think it would be Mary Sue's husband would be victim number one.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But that's definitely not Jerry Nelson. Like, he's a puppeteer from Sesame Street and The Muppet Show, which would have been in its heyday in 1985. So what would he have been doing in Nailgun Massacre? So I'm sure it's a mistake on IMDb.
Well, there's quite a lot of them on there, isn't there?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I suppose, because it's one of the first sort of popular shot on video for video. It was
Well, I wouldn't say it's video. It's film.
Oh, is it film?
It is film, I think, yeah.
Okay, right, okay. But it didn't get any kind of cinema release, did it?
I'm sure not.
Yeah.
Because the Magnum...
pretty shortened.
Yeah, Magnum release, it's got it says a futuristic film release, 1985, and then it's artwork and design, 1987, by Magnum Entertainment. So, but yeah, and have we got anything else we want to say about Nilghai Massacre?
Who do we think is the best looking character in the movie?
Oh, Mary Sue's husband.
Okay. Mm.
I don't know what his character name is.
I don't think he has one.
Yeah, I don't think he has one.
What about Justin? This should be more difficult for you.
I think it's the one of the two brothers.
Oh, the three people that could be the main character but are not.
You know, the construction workers, the ones who she comes out and shouts at them about not having a receipt.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
those two.
I say the guy who was with the torpedo boobies girl.
Okay. And what about you, Joseph?
Oh, boy. I guess the girl who played the rape victim, I mean, she was okay, I suppose, but I wouldn't go out of my way to, like, nail her or anything.
Yeah. Hey, I wonder if
I wouldn't want to rape her or anything, but someone else might.
Maybe that was Terry Lofton being clever, you know, like the rape victim and the whole like term nailing, and then the people that were involved start getting nailed.
Oh, it works on so many levels.
It does.
It does.
This is a multi-layered
existential thought process. Yeah.
Actually, I've got another little clip here. Nothing to do with the movie, but just what we've just been talking about.
For an attractive young lady, you surprised me. You drove like a man.
Oh, thank you.
Apart from your two big boobs. Look how you reacted when that policeman suddenly put his hand up.
Oh, you are awful, but I like you.
So that was for Reese. He said he missed it, but all the talk of boobs.
Yeah.
Well, there are many, many boobs in this movie.
There's a lot of boobs, isn't there?
There's lots of shots of people putting their hands in certain positions and then a nail goes through them.
It's like a lot of breasts in the movie too.
Mm. It's kind of like the woman who's up against a tree,
yeah.
And it takes her almost 5 minutes to realise that her lover's just been killed.
I know. Yeah,
he's sliding down her, and he's got blood, and she's just going, "What's going on? I don't understand." And then
what the hell's the matter with you?
Yeah, she gets shot in the mouth, doesn't she? A hand over her mouth. She gets shot. Yeah.
So does the nail? I mean, how does that kill her? I mean, it goes through her. Through her hand into her mouth, but I don't think it like impales any part of her mouth. Her mouth just happens to be open.
So she dies. She gets shot in the boob as well. It probably goes through to her heart, maybe, or something.
Yeah, that probably did.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
I like her little model pose, like when they're asking about work and the guy looks behind and she's standing back there, like flipping her hair, you know, kind of like she's, you know, like a model or something.
Trish can't leave. She's pregnant.
She always seems mad.
Yeah. Well, it's mad. I mean, she's dating the muscle bound guy, and then his friend is kind of like tagging along. So now she has to deal with him and that poor girl. But you know, at least now that guy has a love interest. So it'd be like a foursome instead of a threesome.
I think you're reading too much into this, Joseph.
No, I'm not. This is a very smart movie.
Do you like their erotic picnic with the Ritz crackers?
Yeah.
And with her asking her friend, do you want a wiener with your bun or something like that?
Well, I like that these bikers are the guy and the girl on the bike, and then the guy and the girl in the truck. They go out there looking for work, and that house is such a dump, and these people are staying there for free. I mean, how are these people going to pay them to work on the house?
Mm.
And who would want to stay in the house? It is a dump. I wouldn't even stay there for free.
I would rather just live in a tent in the woods.
I'd rather just live out in the middle of the highway somewhere.
It's amazing that this film can generate such a heated debate.
Yeah.
Isn't
it? I like his hat, Tamed.
Tamed.
Yeah, the guy's hat.
Who tamed him?
Tamed.
But the question is, who tamed him?
I'm not sure.
Do we think, you know, the scene with the, which I think Eric was probably nailed it again, you know, keep on saying that, but with the whole, like, the padding stuff out with these kind of random scenes, but was there, you know, the character with the, who go for the burger or for the fries, grilled cheese or whatever, were they in it before?
No, they appear from nowhere. Yeah.
Apparently, he's some kind of big time movie producer. He's like, "Let me tell you, see if you, I use you in one of my movies again."
Yeah,
yeah. And the girl, so, well, the woman.
Why can't
the...
he afford more than $1.19?
Exactly. But so the woman who was serving them, when she kind of comes out and bends his antennae and all that, she's not anything from anything earlier either.
No, I don't think so.
She just happens to be. Yeah. His ex, I guess. Or
I had these same problems watching for the first time, going, okay, I've missed something, obviously, because they play out as if the characters have been through in the movie throughout, and you're like wondering, okay, I've missed something here. Who are these people?
See, I like when he takes her to this restaurant, and he's like, you get a grilled cheese, fries, and a shake for $1.19, and he makes this look on his face like, aren't you impressed? And apparently she is, because she doesn't argue against him, so she's like, yeah, this is fine.
Well, it's crazy because, yeah, at first he's like, you know, how about this place? She's like, that's fine. And then right when they pull up, she goes, you call this a class restaurant?
Oh, no.
Like, she's got, like, a split personality or something. Like, she doesn't remember what she said, you know. Like,
do you still have those places in the States where women come out in roller skates and serve you fries and
not roller skates. They usually don't
wear roller skates. Well, we got one called Sonic. We got one called Sonic where they come out on skates.
Cool. Actually, I don't think they – I haven't seen them come out on skates around here.
But well, a couple of them do come out on skates. You have that option. You can retain the option to wear roller skates.
Justin, on your VHS, when the killer falls to his death, can you see his leg kicking up in the air like he's just landed on something? Because in my VHS, I always could, but on the DVD, they cut that out. You can't see it.
On the DVD, it's cut, but on the VHS, the landing pad was right below the camera, so you actually see his leg when he's getting up off the pad.
I'll have to rewatch it. I can't remember. I didn't notice that, but I think I had probably lost the will to live by the end of it. As much as I enjoy it, it's kind of 90 minutes of it's quite unrelenting, isn't it?
See, for after 90 minutes of No Gun Massacre, I have a new appreciation for life. I don't lost the will to live. I just want to go out and live my life and then watch No Gun Massacre again.
Hallelujah.
They, you know, make a deal about this town. It's obviously a very small town where I'm guessing everybody knows each other. And the sheriff and Doc know who turns out to be the killer. You know, they know him really well, and they don't recognize his brown hearse.
That's what I was saying earlier. Mm. He doesn't know to whom it belongs. And I love the sheriff's insistence that old Lady Bailey's connected to these killings, even though we never see old Lady Bailey. We don't even know who she is.
Mm.
Yeah, she does let that family stay in that house for free if they'll just fix it up.
Yeah.
And it seems to take him an age to join the dots together that it's related to this rape from 6 months ago, whenever it was. And also, nobody mentions...
Did your father work for the Bell's Construction Company? He's like, yeah, why?
Her eyebrows freak me out. Did anyone else get freaked out by her eyebrows?
She did have very big eyebrows, didn't she?
She did, yeah. But the other thing is, nobody mentions the term nail gun until about 10 minutes from the end. It's like, oh, maybe they're using a nail gun. Well, maybe they have come to that conclusion before, but it's not actually mentioned.
Someone's gone plumb loco with hammer and a box of nails.
Because wasn't one of the characters shuffling through loads of Polaroids of the death scenes? Like, very slowly.
Oh, yes, the doc is.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And then he comes
to the scene of the doc where he's on the phone for what seems like 20 minutes.
That goes on forever.
And it's so obvious there's nobody at the other end. I mean, in a way, sometimes in films,
What's funny is he's sitting there, and you know, in the silent moments where I guess it's supposed to be the other person on the other line talking, you can hear like random parts of the soundtrack. You hear, ha, ha, ha. It just comes out of nowhere.
You know, you mentioned the grill scene earlier. Don't you love the fact that this guy, I guess it's his daughter, I don't know, comes out and sees him lying on the grill, and instead of trying to pull him off, she actually pushes him down on it and starts shaking him.
Well, she likes her father. Well done.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, Joseph. All right. Well, shall we wrap this puppy up?
Yeah, we should.
Yes. Well, we don't actually have any feedback, do we?
No, we don't.
Not
aware of. Which is very disappointing of all you.
I've got some feedback for you, Justin. A friend of mine was bored at work and decided to listen to this podcast, and he wanted to know who was the guy with the sexy accent.
Oh,
and I said it was either Justin or Eric, and he thinks that you both have sexy accents, but something about the British one is a little bit more so. Sorry, Eric.
Wow. I take that back. Yesterday, I went to Walmart, and I actually ran into a guy I haven't seen in 20 years. He was on my Facebook friends, but I haven't seen him. I used to be childhood friends with him, but he was like, "I've listened to you. Still do the podcast?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, I listen to it. You know, I'm not a big horror fan, but it seems like you guys do a pretty good job. I don't understand what you're saying half the time, but so there's that."
Well, that's fair.
Okay. Well, I've had one from Lee, who does the Movie Matters podcast. He got in touch with me and asked me if I'd like to contribute to their Best of 2012 show, which they're recording this weekend, and he said nice things about Hysteria Continues. So hello, Lee, and if you tune into their next episode, I'll be on it with my little MP3 I recorded for them. Although I did discover that I keep a list of what films I watch, so I'm not rewatching the same stuff over and over again, and I only saw 19 releases from 2012, so my list was kind of small. I put Prometheus as number one as a, you know, spoiler alert in case you're listening to Movie Matters.
Oh, well, Movie Matters is a great podcast, isn't it? So
it is.
Definitely worth listening to. The only thing, I had a little bit on the Hysteria Lives Facebook page was a short post from Ed Harris, who says enjoying...
Ed Harris? From The Abyss?
And Creepshow?
Wow.
Don't think so. He doesn't look, well, I'm not sure, well, maybe it is, but he says, enjoying the podcast greatly. You guys ever see this rather obscure little flick, Slaughterhouse? Have you guys,
seen Slaughterhouse yet, I'm aware of it, but.
Oh.
Is that the one that was also,
sure.
Was it called Hell Island as well? Or not Slaughter Rock?
No,
that's Slaughterhouse Rock.
But it's probably one we'll cover. I haven't seen that for ages. And I did play a little game on the Hysteria Lives Facebook page with screen grabs from films.
I love
films.
That game.
Do you like that game?
I didn't see that until very late last night, and it had all been finished. So
I might do some more tonight.
I was going to guess the Necro Files or Motel Hell, but
Oh, did you see Motel Hell is getting a Scream Factory release? Arrow. Great Arrow release.
Did you see the artwork?
Arrow release, yeah. Yeah, it should be really good. I'm going to be doing. I'm hopefully going to be contributing to the Slice and Dice Forever, the Slasher Movie Forever, on some of the extra features.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Which might happen, but which I can't go into now. But
is that still coming out in March, or is it?
I believe so. It's still being seen in sort of film festivals around the world. Possibly, I'm not sure if it's in Dublin.
It was here for Horrorthon. I saw it there.
Oh, right, yeah, okay, of course. But I think there's a few places like, in Spain and other places. But yeah, so that should be quite exciting when that comes out. I don't know about the next things. I mean, Nathan, it's your pick next time.
Oh, yes.
Do you want to tell the good folks at home what we have to expect?
I'm taking us to Hospital Massacre.
Mm.
Also known as?
It's Valentine's Day. X-ray.
X-ray.
And be my Valentine or else.
Yes.
Also, you guys, I don't know if you remember, but there was a school teacher I mentioned not long ago named Mrs. Elmador, and she's going to make an appearance.
Ooh. Okay.
In this next episode.
All right. Well, there's something to look forward to. And also, Barbie Benson, of course, is famous for her boobies, wasn't she?
I tried to get her for an interview, but, you know, nothing.
No. I did see her on what was it, sort of, that kind of the real, that thing with Hugh Hefner.
The Girls Next Door?
Yeah. She was on there, wasn't she?
Yeah, she did an episode or two on there.
She still looks really good, doesn't she?
She's had some good work done.
But she has, well, we won't talk much about that anyway, but save that for next time. But yeah, that should be a fun one to do. So anything else we want to say, guys, apart from please send more feedback in? Actually, shall I just play the feedback thing? Here we go.
Be sure to search for and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at @THC_podcast. Our voicemail is 858-233-9281. And you can email us directly at the.hysteria.continues@gmail.com.
I just want to say I'm sorry for the recent Twitter debacle. Apparently, we got hacked, and people were trying to sell fruit or something like that.
That sounds like Justin.
Or was recommending like protein vegan shakes ways. Or something. Yeah.
Well, I did get accused of that. I mean, I'm hardly going to go onto Twitter and start off, you know, trying to offer people a banana.
How do they get in there? I mean, because the password I chose was really difficult to guess. I wonder how they guessed the password.
I don't know.
Or if they just brute forced it. I don't know. It's just weird.
But there's always all the ones I always get on Twitter is like, you won't believe what so-and-so is saying about you. And
it's like on Facebook. See who's deleted you from their friends list.
Yeah, yeah.
They click on it before you know it. Yeah.
But
I wish I did know sometimes when I get deleted that way I could like just pound my fist on the desk and say, "Why me? God, why me?"
Well, you can on Twitter, can't you? There's a something called "Who unfollowed me," so you can be really spiteful and go back and unfollow them if you want to.
Yeah.
But we've all got lives, so we won't do that. So, yes. Okay. Well, thank you for listening. Is there anything else we want to say before we...
I love you, Nailgun Massacre.
Okay. I do too.
I kind of do.
Yeah, and I do too as well. So we've got an outro here, so we will play this out, and we will see you next time. So, as ever, thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
I was very close in my approximation of his voice.
You were very good, actually.
Well, that's magic of audacity for you.
Indeed.
Very Creepshow-esque.
This sounds like one of it's one of Toya's songs.
No, it's one of Susie's.
He beat Eric, sorry.
I knew he was going to say it. I was waiting for him to say it.
Face. He got
so
you.
Big to be.
Got it. You know, it's pretty been over here around here for 10 years. Now it seems like everybody's down here.
Oh, thank God that's over.
Mary Sue, get in here right now.
Oh, I certainly will.
I said, get your fat ass in here. That's what he says.
Now!
He's calling her fat? I mean, I know she is, but come on.
Eric, what is it about this first redneck that you find so attractive?
He's got really hairy shoulders.
Oh, okay.
I like that. He's a bit rough around the edges. I don't like the fact that it's kind of intimated that he doesn't wash his hands after he uses the lavatory, which I don't like. But otherwise, he's perfect.
Perfect.
Well, you just gave Justin some stuff to use on the end of the episode.